Well, guys, we are glad that y'all are here. Yes, I am not JP, so if you were coming here expecting to have JP here, I am not he, but JP does want us to be praying for him. He is, over these next 5 or 6 days, down in New Braunfels, Texas, at a family camp. He's going to be teaching to some folks there, and he just asked us to be praying for him while he's down there loving on some families. But my name is Ryan Nixon. I am on staff here at Watermark with the Young Adults Ministry, and so I get to be on the team with JP and other folks, and I'm really excited to be here with you guys tonight. Just to kind of allow you to get to know me a little bit better. Been here in Dallas for 5 years, been married for 4+ of those years. My wife was right over here, Callie. I just love getting to listen to her sing, and we are 38 weeks pregnant, which is pretty stinking awesome. Yeah, I'll celebrate that. And so, like, sometimes I'm like, I feel like we're sitting on a time bomb. It's like, hey, any minute, it may even be during this talk. And if so, just pray, and we'll turn on some worship music and keep going. But I grew up in Austin. She grew up here in Dallas. And then both of us, you know, shared this a little bit with you guys before. Both of us come from huge Longhorn fans. You know, her parents and her grandparents were huge Longhorn fans. She grew up as a Longhorn. I grew up as a Longhorn. I mean, we loved it. We bled orange for so long. And then God, by His grace, didn't allow us to make the same mistakes that our parents did. And God's good in that. And He kind of removed us from, you know, following those footsteps. And both of us went to A&M. That's where we became best friends. We loved it. We became best friends there, and God has been so good to us. Well, I loved A&M, loved being married for these last 4 years, and I still love my family and our in-laws, even though they're Longhorns. But one of the things that some of y'all may not know about me is that I love food. And tonight we're going to be talking a whole lot about food, and so I hope that it doesn't gross you out. I hope you can say, yes, I'm hungry to go to the porch late night and chow down on some burgers. But I love food, and I just don't want to eat just to kind of get fuel into my system. Like, I want to eat, and I want to enjoy it. I want it to be good. And, I mean, one of my favorite genres of food by far is Mexican food. Because I feel like, you know, yeah, come on, we can give a hand clap to Mexican food, come on. I feel like with Mexican food, it's like, I mean, they just throw all the ingredients there together. And so a number of times a week, like, I'm making breakfast burritos at home, and like, I got eggs and cheese and salsa and, you know, meat, and I'm wrapping it up in tortilla. And like, throughout the week, I want to find, you know, a place that I can go get some Mexican food. I want to find, you know, old joints that I love, and then new places that, you know, no one's ever heard of. And I just love it. But many times what happens when I go get Mexican food is we sit down, and I'm really excited about the meal that's going to happen and that I'm about to eat. And then, you know, chips come out. And have any of you guys ever just eaten so many chips and kind of just beginning, like, you don't even want to touch your meal? This happens to me time and time again. And it happened about a month ago. I was at one of my favorite places, my wife and I's favorite place, Mi Cocina, and just love this place. And you know, I think there's kind of two items on the menu that just say, hey, I love this place so much because of this. And it is Mama's Chicken Con Hongos. It is this delightful, yeah, it kind of sounds what I mean, but it's, you know, Mama's, it's Mom's, you know, chicken, it's chicken, cone with hongos and like mushrooms. And that's what makes the entree. And like these, it's a normal fajita tray, you know, and so they come out and it's sizzling and they got onions and peppers and the chicken is sitting in there. But what they also kind of saute this chicken in is these huge mushrooms, and they're cooked to perfection and they're like tender and juicy, and it's just awesome. And so that's normally what I get. And if I don't get that, I always get a side of hongos with whatever the other entree is, just because I love it. And so get there, and we order that, and are excited about, you know, just being with family and hanging out. And, you know, the chips and salsa come out, and this time, you know, we splurge a little bit. We get a little guacamole, and I just don't want to eat, you know, just guacamole. Like, I get my own separate side dish of salsa, and I put a little guacamole, a little salsa in there. I take some limes, and I squeeze it in there. Like, I want to make my own concoction. Again, I just don't want to eat just to eat. Like, I want to make it good. And so I do that, and lo and behold, we're just chatting, we're talking, and when the meal comes out, like, I've already gone through about 8 glasses of iced tea. You know, they've refilled these chips 2 or 3 times, and I'm stuffed. Like, I'm like, man, I don't even want to eat. And I'm like, I'm about to pay $20 for this entree and these chips and salsa. It's free. But like, I don't even want to eat anything. And because I paid for it, and like, I hate seeing, you know, actually I'd probably take it home, but you know, I don't want to just like sit there and not eat my meal. So like, I take a tortilla, put everything in there, and I like, I choke it down, and I'm just like, yeah, that tasted good, but just left this nasty feeling inside of me. And my pants are tight. I'm just like feeling sick. I come home and it's hard for me to go to sleep because I'm just like, oh, and my wife's going, why do you do that to yourself? I don't know. And I feel nasty. And I'm like, and I think back to myself and I'm like, okay, I went there and I knew what I wanted. I wanted Mama's chicken con hongos. I was willing to pay $20, or sometimes excited that, you know, my in-laws paid $20 for it. And I could get stuffed on these chips that are for free. Like, they didn't cost anything. And they're good, but they're not great. And I don't even, you know, enjoy what I came for. And I'm just like, that was a waste. And I feel nasty. You know, and I feel like I do that in life, in my relationship with the Lord, time and time again. That the Lord has a purpose for me, that He has created me, and He desires for me to be satisfied with Him. And He says, hey, I am good. Satisfy yourself on me. And what I do, and what my problem is, and what I feel like a lot of our problems are from time to time, is that we stuff ourselves with just the things of the world, the things that are worthless, and that may maybe satisfy for a moment, but leave us, you know, just with this nasty taste inside. It's like, man, that was not what I wanted. That's not what I thought it was going to be like. And so many of us, you know, we become like, you know, obese with the things of the world, and we stuff ourselves with the things of the world, and we become spiritually anorexic to the things of God. And we walk throughout life, and although we look like we're doing okay, like, we are spiritually malnourished, and we are spiritually, you know, just dehydrated and needing something to give us life. And so when JP asked me to speak a couple weeks ago, I thought to myself, you know, I may have one chance to come up here and share with you guys. And if there is one thing that I would want to share with y'all, and what God's been continually teaching me, is something that I feel like we need desperately here in Dallas. That us within this porch crowd, within this life stage, that all of us here as followers of Christ, we need this desperately. Because if we don't, we are going to make a shipwreck of our life. And even though we're seeking, you know, to have a full life, to have a prosperous life, we will miss the mark. And so tonight, what I want to talk about is this idea of hungering for the Word of God so that we would be satisfied with Christ. And there's three things that we're going to be looking at, is that, you know, we have to have a passion for God. And that God, you know, what does it look like for us to have a passion for God? You know, what does it look like to pursue God? What does it look like to pursue Christ and run hard after Him? And not only that, what is the product of having a passion for Christ? What is a product of pursuing heavily after Christ? What happens in our life? And so we're going to be looking at one of my favorite Psalms, in Psalm 1. And this psalm is going to be in our baby room, and we're going to be, you know, reading this over our child as it comes into the world, and as we get to help this child grow up. Because it speaks so much truth. And if you have your Bible, open your Bible up to Psalm 1. And this psalm was written by David. He's the king of Israel. And it was said that he was a man. He's the only person in the whole Bible that says that this is a man after God's own heart. And so let's dive in and let's look at what the man after God's own heart has to say on how we should live. It says, "How blessed is the man that does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither. And whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall perish." And so let's dive into this text. You know, the first thing we're going to look at is, what does it mean to have a passion for Christ? A passion for God. And we see in that first verse, it says, "How blessed is a man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in a seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And we see where David starts off. He doesn't go straight to, you know, don't be wicked, don't sin, don't scoff. But the first thing he talks about is saying, hey, there's a conflict of influences in your life and in my life. We don't start off of don't sin, do righteousness, but there are a conflict of influences in your life as you go in and day out. And God knows that the people that we surround ourselves with, whether it be the wicked, the sinners, or the scoffers, or we surround ourselves with people who are running hard after Christ, that's going to influence our life because they teach us and share with us where life can be found and where we're going to be satisfied. And therefore, where we think life is found, our desires follow. And where our desires are, we see that our actions follow our desires. And our lifestyles begin to model our actions. And so he first starts off and says, hey, there's a conflict of influences here. And so first we have to recognize is what is influencing you in your life. I was talking to a friend just last week. And we were just getting a chance to know each other. And he was sharing with me a little bit about himself and his story. And he's talked about how he came to know Christ at an early age. But he spent the majority of his junior high years, his high school years, his college years, you know, living at the party scene, you know, looking for the next drink, looking for the next girl just to hook up with, you know, thinking that life was making a name for himself, whether it be with sports, you know, or at the club, at the bar, wherever it may be, and thinking, hey, this is where life is. And so therefore his desires pushed him towards wanting that lifestyle. And one of the things he shared, he said, you know, at an early age, you know, I had older brothers and I had friends and they influenced me and they kind of coached me and saying, hey, this is where life is found. And so he just said, hey, if this is where life is found, you know, life must not be kind of what I hear at church and kind of where God says life can be found. So, hey, these things seem like they satisfy. You know, I enjoy these things. And so he just began running hard after those things. You know, not knowing for about another 15 or 20 years that he was just living a lie and that he was, yes, being satisfied, but sin just satisfies for a season. And so we have to recognize in our lives that there are influences around us, you know, encourage us and teach us on where our desires should be. And those influences could be, you know, whether it be from friends and families. I think also mentors, people we look up to and say, man, I want to be like that person one day. Man, if I could just be like her, if I could just be like him. You know, maybe it's actors or actresses, it's athletes. People say, man, they've got it made. You know, we see from TV and movies and all these things around us are saying, hey, this is where life is found. And so therefore we're saying, hey, if that's where my life needs to be, then my desires need to be after those things. And we get confused, and so we start running after those, and we find out that they just leave us dry. And so we have to recognize is that the people that we run with, the things that we run with, will soon become what we become one with. And so recognize that the first thing that David's talking about is that, hey, there's a conflict of influences in our lives, and we have to delight in the law of the Lord. And so what does it look like to delight in the law of the Lord? I pulled up a couple of scriptures in 1 Peter chapter 2. It says, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. Psalm 52, it says, as a deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. Psalm 119, 103, it says, how sweet are your words to my taste. Yes, sweeter than the honeycomb to my mouth. You know, it's no confusion on what it means to desire something or delight in something. You know, all of us have things that we say, man, we get excited about that. We get pumped about it. I was with my community group this last Sunday, and the Cowboys were playing. And one of the guys said, man, I'm excited that football's here again. And one of the things he did, he said, you know, I went out, we didn't have cable at our house, but we bought cable for 3 months, for 6 months. They gave us 3 months free. And so after that, there's no contract, you know, I'll just cancel it. But I'm excited that football's around. And so his desires were to watch football. His actions followed it. And he said, hey, this is good. And then there's nothing wrong with watching football. But we know what it's like to desire in things. And what God is saying, hey, delight in the law of the Lord. But I know that the question for all of us is, and it's a question for me a lot of times, is what do I do when I don't desire the things of God? What do I do when I don't want to read God's Word? What do I do when I don't want to follow God's commands? And you know, one of the first questions we have to ask ourselves is, do I know Jesus? Have I put my faith in Jesus Christ for the salvation of my sins? And if not, man, of course I'm not going to desire the things of the Lord. You know, and that's got to be the first step that you need to take. But if you do know Christ and you've put your faith in Christ and you're still sitting in this place and saying, man, I don't desire Christ right now. You know, sometimes we need to remind ourselves and we need to pray like in Psalm 119, 18, open the eyes of my heart so that I may behold the beautiful things of your law. We need to remind ourselves of truth and saying, God, help me desire you. But sometimes we still don't desire. And so one of the things that we have to do is we have to discipline ourselves for the purpose of godliness. We have to train. And even though we don't want to, we discipline ourselves and work out our body spiritually because we know that it is good for us. And all of us have experienced this before too. I mean, all of us, you know, majority of us have probably been a part of a sports team, you know, or you've trained for a marathon or something like that. And you're like, yeah, I've got a goal to be on that team. I've got a goal to run a marathon or a half marathon or whatever else. And you may hate running, but you say, you know what, this is what I want to do. And so you discipline yourself to get up early, even when you're tired, to go out and run. You know, a lot of us are probably in here and saying, you know, I could lose a few pounds. I would like to shed a little bit of pounds, shed some weight. And as my wife's been pregnant over the last 9 months, when she craved something, I was like, I should have it too. You know, she says, hey, I'm thinking I'm going to go get some Harry's. And I'm like, I'm in. She says to herself, and I told her, I said, hey, you need to relax, okay? You know, we're getting towards the end of the pregnancy. You need just to relax and, you know, just prop your feet up. And so I'm like, maybe I should relax also. I'm telling her, hey, sleep in. And I'm like, I need to sleep in. And so over the course of time, like, I've got a little friend too. And I've said to myself, I'm like, you know what? I'm putting on some weight. I'm having to get new clothes. You know, I'm like, I'm as heavy as I was when I was a lineman in high school. And I was like, I was trying to be big and I was like, this isn't good, but am I willing to get up early to work out? Am I disciplining myself to work out on a regular basis so I can lose some weight? Am I disciplining myself to eat right, to eat fruits and vegetables and all those things so that I can lose weight? And right now, it's just like, not really. But again, it's not that I don't like these things. I mean, I love vegetables. Like I love, you know, grabbing a salad at Slaughter or whatever else. And I love eating those things, but I'm still not doing enough to lose that weight. And again, I love all types of food, and I love cooking vegetables. I love sautéing, you know, squash and zucchini, and it is healthy and it's good. And I like it because it's good, but it's also rich in flavor. But I tell you, I wasn't always this way. When I was a kid, I hated vegetables. And I wasn't just that normal kid. I mean, most kids go through stages. It's like, you know, I don't like vegetables right now. Like, I hated it. Like, I had a physical reaction to vegetables. Like when I would put vegetables in my mouth, you know, I would have this kind of dry heave reflex. And I put it in my mouth, and either the taste or the texture, and I just go... And it wasn't good. And I remember one time when I was like 7 years old, my sister and I, we had a kid sitter named Carrie. And she was like, hey, and my parents were gone. She's like, hey, you know, I made the spinach casserole. You're going to eat it. And I said, no, I'm not going to eat that. And she's like, you're not leaving. So you're like, you're going to be sorry. And so I choked this down. And then about, you know, 30 seconds later, just bleh, you know, and just everywhere on the carpet. And I was like, I told you so. I don't like this. You know, that doesn't jive with me. And you would have thought, like, as I turn, you know, 8, 9, 10, you know, 13, hit puberty and everything, like, you know, that would have changed. It didn't. I still remember when I was 18 years old, I was a senior in high school. I was considered an adult by the state. You know, I could buy lottery tickets, I could vote. Like, I was an adult. And I was over at my best friend's house, and I remember his parents had gone out, and they got us some lunch, and they got Taco Bell, and they came back, and I love Taco Bell, because you get so much food for such a cheap price. And they come back, and they bring it, and they knew that I didn't like vegetables, and it wasn't new to anybody. And so they come in, and they bring out the tostada. I love tostadas. And they bring it out there, and it's got the, you know, tostada, the beans and cheese, and they open it up, and there's still all the lettuce and tomatoes on it. And they saw my face, and like there's just fear in my eyes. His dad looks at me and goes, "Oh, don't be a baby, Ryan." And he brushes off the lettuce and tomatoes, and he goes, "Here, it's fine." And I'm still looking, and there's like a few shreds of lettuce, like five or six on them. And I grab the tostada, and he's like, "Just eat it, you'll be fine." I was like, "Okay, yeah, I'll be fine. I'm 18. I'll be fine." And so I eat it, and I take a bite, and I'm starting to chew slowly, and the lettuce just hits the top of my mouth. And I just go, and I gag, and they start dying laughing, and I keep continuing trying to choke the stuff down, and like every you know, two or three bites, like, and I mean, I was serious, I didn't want anything to do with it. That next year, you know, I graduate high school, I go to A&M, I join the Corps of Cadets, gig'em, and they, you know, they didn't really care that I didn't like vegetables. And so in the Corps, like you ate with the Corps, and so you've got these sophomores who are training you right in front of you. And if you wanted more food, you had to finish what was on your plate, at least where I was. And so I go and I get my tray and I sit down, and the first time I'm eating, and I'm like, I'm not eating this, but I'm still hungry. And so I learned, like I said, well, hey, I'm starving. If I don't eat, I'm just going to fall over and kill and die, you know, when I'm walking back. And so I discipline myself, start choking these things down. And over the course of time, over that year, you know, the thing that I used to hate, I was like, okay, I'm gonna eat this. And it became something that I enjoyed. I mean, even to the point now, like I said earlier, like I love vegetables. I mean, it's one of my favorite things to eat. And like many times the same thing is with our relationship with the Lord. That we're saying, hey, I don't desire the things of Christ. I don't desire reading God's Word. But one of the things we come to notice is that many times our disciplines become our desires. And many times our afflictions grow into affections. And God says, hey, blessed is the man. He will be prosperous who delights in the law of the Lord. And let's look back at the text. It says again in verse 2, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. So now we're kind of looking at what is the pursuit of knowing Christ? What is the pursuit of knowing God? And these are the practicals, you guys, of what we have to do in our relationship with God, how we pursue after God when we desire Him and when we don't desire Him. And some of the things we need to do is we need to frequently seek to know God. You know, we need to frequently gather together with other believers to hear truth, to be taught the Word of God in things like the porch or on Sunday mornings here at Watermark or at your home church or in small groups or community groups. Like, we frequently need to be encouraged, challenged, and taught the Word of God. But we can't just come to places and be fed the Word of God second-handedly. God wants to be in a personal relationship with you and me, and so we also have to frequently pursue God in His Word by ourselves. You know, it's just like if you want to start dating a girl, or girls, if you want to kind of start to get to know a guy, like, you don't send your best friend over to them and like say, hey, you go out with them a couple times, get to know them, come back and tell me about how awesome of a person they are. And then keep on doing that, and like, if they're sweet, if they're romantic, no, it's stupid. But so many of us on a regular basis do that with God, who says, I love you and I want to be in a relationship with you. And so we come to the porch and we listen to JP, or we're here on Sunday mornings, or we're at our, you know, Bible study, and we listen to other people and like, yes, God, you are good. You know, I'm so glad that I know you so well. And it's like, man, you're never spending time with me. And so we personally have to frequently seek after God. And not only that, we need to become students of the Word of God. We need to study God's Word. We need to seek hard after God's Word. Because our God is not a vending machine or a Coke machine that whenever we're hungry or thirsty, we just go over there and throw in our 75 cents or dollar and, you know, man, here we go. I'm good to go. I've got my fix for the day. You know, our God is not a genie. And this is not a bottle that we come and we open up and we spend time in it. We rub and we're like, God, I want to be prosperous today. I would really like this job, this girl, and, you know, whatever else. You and me are good. Let's go. You know, it's not that. God, our God is a God that wants to be pursued and known because He knows that He will fully satisfy us. He is like this rich mine that we need to dig deep so that we can dig up the riches of who He is, so that we would be satisfied by Him. You know, it looks like this in Proverbs 8. It says, "I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me." Jeremiah 29:13, it's kind of after that one that everyone knows. In Jeremiah 29:13, it says, "You know, you will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all of your heart." God is a God that wants to be sought after. He wants us to long for Him. And not only do we become students, but we need to meditate on the Word of God. We have to continually hide God's Word in our heart so that we would be able to live well. It says in Joshua 1:8, it says, you know, "Meditate on the law of the Lord day and night. But this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth day and night, but you shall meditate on it, you know, so that you will be able to do everything that is written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and then you'll be successful." We have to meditate on the Word of God. We have to, you know, just like a piece of chicken has to marinate in something. If you want it to taste good, you know, we had the porch leaders over to our house the other night, and we marinated this chicken in we marinated in Italian dressing all day long. You know, saying it takes on that flavor. You know, we need to do the same thing in the Word of God. We need to meditate and memorize the Word of God, so when the world cuts us, we bleed Scripture. That when the world is crashing down upon us, we're able to stand on the rock of truth because we're one with God. You know, I remember when I first started dating Callie. We went to A&M together. I was a senior. She was a freshman. I was a senior for like 2.5 years more. 1 degree. But over the course of that time, we became best friends. And she went off to Italy, and distance made the heart grow fonder. And so when she came back, we were working at this Christian sports camp up in Branson, Missouri. And I wanted to see if my feelings were still the same for her. And I noticed they continued to grow. And so I began to say to myself, you know, I'm really liking that girl. You know, yes, she is beautiful and she is gorgeous, but I began to take notice of her. I began to take notice of where she'd hang out and what she was doing. I began to take notice in how, you know, girls were wanting to spend time with her. And I started to notice these things. And, you know, I started to kind of study her a little bit. And I kind of came up to her, and we were close friends. And I said, "Hey, I'd love for us to maybe take this relationship a different direction." And at first she said, "I'm not sure." And she came back a couple days later and said, "Yes." And I was like, "Yes." And so over the course of the next, you know, couple months, I began to study her, you know, and I found out that her birthday was on August 8th. And then I also realized that she loved horses. And so I jumped through hoops while we were at camp that summer so I could get some horses. So on her birthday, you know, we could go horseback riding, you know, and no one did that. But I was like, "Hey, she likes that. I want to do that for her." And so when we got engaged, I also said, "Hey, we're going to go horseback riding because that's something that you love." And I also started to recognize that she, you know, she loved flowers, but all girls love flowers. You know, and any Joe Schmo can go and get roses because it's like, okay, roses, all girls like roses, but she liked Gerber daisies. And so I knew when I wanted to celebrate her, I wanted to find, you know, what made her feel celebrated. And I studied her some more and I was like, "She likes live music. I don't, but I don't care. I'm going to go there with her because she enjoys it." You know, she was really cultured and she liked to go to museums. And I was like, "This is boring, but I'm going because I want to be with you." You know, and she liked, you know, so much more. Like, I know musicals, and so we went and saw Lion King and Dreamgirls and Mary Poppins. And she also liked the arts, and so we went to a ballet in Austin, and I watched people dance around for 2 hours. And it was awesome. And one of the things I began to notice, you guys, and I'm sure if you're in a relationship or you've been in a relationship, you notice these things, like the things that she loved, I began to love. And so as I saw this girl named Callie, I wanted to be in a relationship with her. And so I began to pursue her. And as I pursued her, I began to study her. And as I studied her more, I got to know her better. And as I got to know her better, I began to fall more deeply in love with her. And as I began to fall more deeply in love with her, I began to love the things that she loved. And this cycle continued, and I began to pursue her more. And you know what? The greatest joy in my life became loving her more. And it's the same with our relationship with the Lord. We see God. We see the truth of who God is in His Word. And we see Him and we notice Him. And we're like, God, You are worthy to be praised. You are worthy to be trusted. And so I want to follow after You. I want to be in a relationship with You. I want to trust You with my life. And so you begin to pursue a relationship with God. And you begin to know Him better. So you begin to study Him more. And as you study Him, you get to know Him more. And as you get to know truly who God is, you start to fall more deeply in love with Christ because He is good. And as you fall more deeply in love with Christ, you begin to fall in love with the things that He loves. And your greatest joy in life becomes falling more deeply in love with this man named Jesus. This is what happens also in Psalm 1. Listen to this. After he delighted in the law of the Lord and he meditated on the law of the Lord, it says, he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. Whatever he does, he prospers. And so we look at what's the product of knowing God this way? What is the product of knowing God? What is this, you know, build into our lives? And one of the things we notice is that as we look at the text is that we become connected with God. We become one with God. We begin to abide with God. We become a tree that's planted by streams. And as we're planted by these streams, you guys, our roots run deep to the life source of who God is. And He begins to feed us and we become connected with God. And as we become connected with God, we are transformed into this person, into this tree. We are changed. Because we're connected to the life source. And not only that, you know, we're built up in this tree that is full of life. You may ask yourself, how does that happen? And you're like, man, how are we transformed? Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you renew your mind? By desiring the things of God and by meditating on the Word of God day and night. Then you will become like a tree that is transformed. And as we're transformed, we begin to live a life. Listen to this guy. I love it. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season. Its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. We become prosperous and successful. And I mean, who doesn't want to be prosperous and successful in life? Who kind of walks in and says, you know what, I'd like a mediocre life. Sign me up. Come on. No, every single one of us wants to be fully satisfied, full of joy, prosperous and successful. But one of the things is a problem is a lot of times we're confused on what it means to be prosperous. We're confused on what it means to be blessed. Sometimes we've been hanging around people that say, hey, life is found here. A lot of us are confused and we say, you know what, the world tells me prosperity, you know, even in a good sense, is you know, finding the right guy or girl and getting married. And after we get married, finding that house that we're going to live in. You know, that's a good life. That's a blessed life. And when we find that house, we're going to have, you know, three outstanding kids. And they're going to be outstanding citizens. And we're going to live in that right neighborhood. And it's like saying, hey, that's the target. That's where I want to be. And it's not that those things are bad. It's not that getting married is bad. It's awesome. It's not that having kids are bad. But this is, it pales in comparison to what God has in store for us. It pales in comparison to what God has in store for us. And God wants us to know that prosperity is knowing Him. This is eternal life, that you would know the one true God and His Son whom He sent. For all eternity, prosperity is knowing the fullness of who God is. It is having a deep, abiding relationship with Him because He fully satisfies us. Because He gives us the fullness of joy. Listen to some of these scriptures. I love it. This is what God wants for us. It says in Matthew 5, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Psalm 16:11, you make known to me the path of life. And in your presence is the fullness of joy. And in your right hand are pleasures. Pleasures forevermore. Psalm 23, The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down by green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. That is where life is found. That is prosperity, is knowing God. And God doesn't want you to sell yourself short. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Because when we know God, this is what comes in our life. Okay, we've been walking through the book of James. When we know God and we're delighting in God and we're seeking His Word, we're able to walk through trials well. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you encounter trials of many kinds. You're able to consider it pure joy because you're saying, I know that the world is crashing down around me, but you are better. I'll trust in you. I know that, you know, I feel like I should be married right now and it seems like things aren't working, but I'm going to trust in you. Lord, I've been laid off 2 or 3 times now. Lord, a family member is dying. Lord, I have cancer. And the world is pressing on me, and that hurts. And it's hard. But that's when God says, trust in me. Jeremiah 29:11, and I hate it when this verse is taken out of context, but I love it when it is used well. Because when trials are coming in, we trust in God and we say, "For I know the plans that you have for me, or that I have for you," is God speaking to us, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. You hold tightly onto that when the world is coming down on you. Not only that, prosperity is you're able to fight well against sin and temptation. You know, it says in James, it says, each one of you is tempted when you are carried away and enticed by your own lust. That lust turns into desire, desire into sin, sin into death. And so when temptation comes, you rest in the truth of Scripture. When you're driving down Park Central and that running trail's right there, and there's a girl running by and she's not fully dressed, you know, and she's just in a tank top or whatever else, you're saying, you know, no, Lord, I've made a covenant with my eyes so that I would not look lustfully upon a girl. You say, God, you are better. When temptation comes and you're in a relationship and you're like, gosh, we're trying to do things well, but also we have these conflicts of desires, like JP talked about a couple weeks ago, internally, like we want to be close to each other, but we're trying to stir and stay pure. You say, flee from youthful lust, 2 Timothy 2:22, and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. You rest on truth. You know God, and so you're able to fight temptation well. And the greatest thing is you start living for God's glory and not your own. Going back to the book of James, what does it mean to be religious? To take care of the orphan and the widow. You start saying, I stop looking at myself and looking at people who are in need. I look at those who I can encourage and love on well. I'm going to take care of the poor. I'm not going to show favoritism. I'm going to use my words to be encouraging to other people and not curse men who are made in the likeness of God. I'm beginning to understand what wisdom is. I'm finding out that I've found life and I want to share life with other people. I want to tell people about the truth of who Christ is. I want to disciple men and women. I want them to know deeply the riches of who God is. And you begin to live for God's glory. And that's what it means to have a prosperous life, you guys. And one of the things we need to remember is that David says he is like a tree that is firmly planted. And we know that trees don't grow quickly. So you have to remember that it takes time. It takes time and it takes effort. It takes discipline. It takes diligence. But it is worth it. And so I hope for us is that we'd realize that God wants us to hunger and thirst after Him and to wait on Him and to pursue Him because He fully satisfies us. Because He transforms us into what is good. I remember a couple years ago, I was working at this same Christian sports camp, and my wife, and if she wasn't my wife, but Callie and I and a couple other friends, we had, you know, you work for a while, then you get a day off. And as we had our day off, it was in Branson, Missouri, and we went to the finest establishment that Branson had to offer. And it was this place called Olive Garden. You may know it as Olive Garden. We knew it as the OG. And I know that, you know, Olive Garden's like the McDonald's of Italian food, but that's all we had. And so we were excited. You know, this camp food wasn't that great. I mean, it was good, but it wasn't great. And so we all piled into our cars and we went out there and we're going to have just some time together to laugh and enjoy each other. And I knew what I was going to get. I love food. I know what I want. And the thing I love at Olive Garden is it's chicken marsala, because they allow the chicken to marinate in that marsala stuff all day long. And it just takes on that flavor, and it's rich and it's good. But as we came to Olive Garden, I knew it was coming. You know, they're going to have the breadsticks there, and they're going to bring it out, and that salad, and it's endless, and you can eat as much as you want. And I'm cheap, and so I'm like, man, bring it on. But I was like, hey, not this time. And a buddy of mine, he always gets a side of Alfredo sauce and marinara sauce, which is a great idea. Do it next time you go. But as they were kind of passing out breadsticks, I said, hey, you get some of this? I was like, not tonight. And then I had a little bit of salad because I needed some roughage to help, you know, things continue to flow well. But I was like, not a lot, because I'm waiting for my meal. I paid a whole $7 for this chicken marsala, and I'm gonna enjoy it. And I remember we're post appetizer prayers, and so you know after the salad came, meal comes, and we're gonna pray. And so I remember praying, and my head was down in my food, not literally, but kind of it's right there. And I remember the aroma of the angel hair pasta and the chicken marsala and the vegetables began just to, you know, just enter my nostrils, and my mouth began to salivate. And I began to say, this is going to be good. And I totally forgot what we were praying about. And I was like, I'm so excited about this meal. And we said amen, and I dug in, and I enjoyed, and I saved, and I just enjoyed every bite. And it was sweet to my lips, and I left, and I was like, this is good. Who's up for some ice cream? And that's what God wants for us. He wants to say, hey, wait on me. Desire me. Don't get full with the things of this world. That they'll fill you up and they'll satisfy for a season. And they're going to leave you empty inside. Seek hard after me. Yearn for me. Pursue me. Wait for me, because I will satisfy you. My wife Callie and Sasha are going to come up, and they're going to sing a song. And I just pray that this time would be an opportunity for you guys just to sit and listen and just think about what is it that you and I need to do to grow deeper in our relationship with the Lord. This is what God desires for us, you guys. God desires us to seek after Him, because He knows that He will satisfy us. How precious is your loving kindness, O God, and the children of men take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They drink their fill in the abundance of your house, and you give them to drink of the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life, and in your light we see light. Psalm 36, 7 and 9. Psalm 90, 14. Oh, satisfy us in the morning with your loving kindness, that we would sing for joy. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. God wants us to run hard after Him. He wants us to have a passion for knowing God. He wants us to have a passion for knowing Him. He wants us to pursue Him diligently, so that we would find Him and that He would satisfy us, and that we'd fall more deeply in love with Him. And that we would understand what the product of knowing God is, that we would be prosperous and successful. And you know, there's bad news in this passage too, because it says there's also a product of not knowing God, that the wicked are not so, and they will be like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. And I know that some of you guys that are here, that you don't know Christ, that you've not put your faith or trust in Christ. And I want you to know that this God that we serve, that we sing about, is good, and He is worthy to be followed. He is worthy to be trusted. He is one that desires for us to pursue after Him and delight in Him, that we would seek His face so that we would find Him and fall more in love with Him. He desires that for us. And so if you don't know this Jesus, we pray that you would come. That you'd come up here, and we'll stay here as long as we need to share with you about the one that we found our hope in, the one that we found our joy in. And I know that many of you here are spiritually anorexic and you've got one foot in the world and one foot in the with Christ, and you're battling with these conflicts of influences, and I want you to know that God desires for you to delight in Him because He is good. Some of you are new believers, and I encourage you to continue running hard after Christ, to yearn after the spiritual milk of the Word of God so that you may grow. And some of you guys are like trees, and you're planted firmly, and your roots are running deep. I encourage you guys to run harder after the Lord. Know Him more, delight in Him more, and make a greater impact in this world for Christ. And so we're going to leave the lights down in here. And if you want to spend time with the Lord, if you need to pray, if you need to work through something, if you need to ask the Lord, Lord, what do I need to do to seek hard after You? How can I delight in You more? Stay in here. We're going to keep this room just like this to be a sanctuary for you. If you need to pray with someone, if you need to talk with someone, there'll be a whole team of folks up here to talk with you about this Jesus that we've fallen in love with. If you have any questions about ways to get plugged in and get connected or to serve, go to the Welcome Center. And if there's a Porch Late Night tonight, if you're saying, man, I need that fellowship, I need to surround myself not with the wicked or the scoffers or the sinners, but I need to surround myself with some Christ followers. We pray that You would come and link arms with us. If you don't know Christ, come and let us share Him with you. And if you do know Christ, go out this week and enjoy Christ this week and love people well. I love you guys. I'm so excited to be able to be here with y'all. Go and enjoy Christ this week. Have a great week, you guys. We love you.